Okay, happy Thanksgiving. And we are not in the Antero room because they had to decorate at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. No options. Don't ask. Well, it's a very cozy place. Hopefully it's not going to get too hot in here. And we'll start our service with a word of prayer.
It's great to see so many people here this morning as we get ready for this special week. Before I pray, I'd like to read this prayer of thanksgiving. All things we receive from God work together for good. We praise Him and thank Him in trials and triumphs, scarcity and plenty, knowing He sends exactly what we need. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do give thanks on this special week where we take time, hopefully, to thank you for all of our many blessings. We know that we should do this throughout the year, and we do, but sometimes we fall short. So please bless all of those who are here this morning. Let them have a blessed Thanksgiving and bring them back to us next Sunday. And we also pray for those who are not here this morning because of sickness or illness, whatever the problem, we know you are with them too. We pray for this church, and you see how you have blessed it, and we grow and grow. We'd ask you to be with Bruce this morning as he brings us his message. And all of these things, we give you thanks and pray in the name of your Son. Amen. Thank you, Tom. And after that rendition, we are going to sing that in just a couple of minutes here. But I have another poem I'd like to read this morning about Thanksgiving. There's bounty on the table. My friends have drawn near. We're gathered together to give thanks here. Outside, the wind may blow and leaves scatter round. But inside this shelter, sweet love abounds. There are so many blessings every day coming our way. Let us always give thanks for this Thanksgiving Day. And now let us sing, We Gather Together.
Yeah. How many knew that song? Oh, okay, fine. Yeah, everybody but Betty. So, wow, this is great. What a great congregation. Fantastic. But we do have a couple of new people here. Raise your hands. Sherry Bradley and Jackie Yanker. Oh, they're way in the back. Okay, fine. Raise your hands. Yeah, there you go. She was standing. That's right. Sorry. You can stand, Jackie. She says, I can't believe you're doing this to us. Sherry, you could stand. Come on. Oh, you are standing. I'm sorry. Oh, there you are. No. So, okay. Well, welcome, guys. They sing in our chorale, and so I thank you for coming. That's really great. They heard so many wonderful things about this church that they were going to check it out for themselves. That's not really true, but that's okay. Any birthdays or anniversaries? Oh, Kathy Bound, we finally have a birthday or anniversary? Fantastic. How old are you? No. No, I won't ask Debbie, I promise. Birthday? Birthday. All right. We haven't had any for like 3 weeks. Anyone else? Great. Let's sing happy. Oh. Well, it's not the end of the month yet. We sing week by week. Bruce, is this your first day here? Okay. And I forgot about the great-grandchild of Pat Cox's. You may rise. Yay. Tell us your name. Can you imagine great-grandma? Now you know what we go through on Mother's Day and Father's Day. We just give them the gift. We don't even ask. Because I'll tell you, we had Carl's funeral on Wednesday, and it was for family. There were 48 family members. This is children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and I felt like we should be passing out a card then, you know. So, and Pat was amazing. Pat sang at Carl's funeral, which she had all of us choked up to the end, but she was amazing. And I'm so grateful that you're here, and I'm so grateful that you're here too. And she did an amazing job. Okay, I don't have a whole lot to talk about today. Clap. Yay. Okay. Yeah. That's two. Okay, we did that. Ladies Bible study is Monday, tomorrow. Please come. We're going to be seeing a film, and then we'll be discussing that film the next time we get together, so come tomorrow. Co-ed Bible study is Tuesday at the Daniels home. Ladies Christmas lunch is December 15th. Sign up. We're going to do something a little different this year. We have you signed up for, you know, A through whatever, bring a dish, you know, salad, blah, blah, blah. So sign up for that, because and a $15 gift exchange, and they're so much fun. They are absolutely hysterical. And men's ministry, December 13th at the clubhouse, because why now? Uh-huh, and you didn't do it at the house because, yeah. No, I'm just, you know, every week I ask all the time why you're doing it at the clubhouse, but don't worry about it, I won't ask anymore. Anyway, prayer pillow, we have three prayer pillows outside. One is for Daryl, one is for Vonda, and the other one is for the Finley family. So, and I apologize for not knowing who the Finley family is. Oh, okay, great, thank you. So please tie those would be wonderful. Holiday concert here at Heritage Eagle Bend is December 8th and 9th, and you have a lot of people here who are in that concert. So tickets go on sale. They're already on, so please, they're $10 a ticket, so please come. Those of you who have come in the past have always enjoyed it because we're so wonderful. I have two notes here. This is to the congregation, actually. Thank you so much for the beautiful prayer pillow. I have it in our living room, and everyone loves it. And the special story of prayers. I feel that the prayers are so important and really help me. Please thank all of your prayer people for us. I am doing better, Bruce will be our next patient for his back, probably in January when I can drive and take care of him. Again, thank you so much for making my life so much better. Love, Beth and Bruce. That is very sweet. And this is from Pat Cox. What can I say? Thank you does not seem enough for everything this congregation has done for my family. The dinner and the hands that prepared and served the family meal after Carl's funeral was so appreciated. The prayers from everyone who felt by Carl and myself for so many months touched us both deeply. The prayer pillow brought Carl so much comfort in his final months, and the prayer pillow was buried with him. So that was really special. Bruce and Betty being there for Carl to anoint him and bless him before his passing meant so much to us, and their involvement in his funeral and burial service was a blessing to us all. Comfort in knowing Carl is in the hands of the Lord. I ask for God's blessings to everyone here. Pat Cox. Okay.
Well, I'll tell you, Betty is a class act, hard to follow. Good morning. I'm honored to be back again as your treasurer. Pardon me. And as you know, Betty is very difficult to say no to. Well, I want to bring you up to date with the finances of the church. And you know, you are the church. You are what makes things happen. The camaraderie that we see in this church, the love that is shown on these Sunday mornings, is just outstanding. And that's, you're the ones. Pastor Bruce and Betty, over the years, have worked so hard for this church, and we cannot stop to tell them thanks so much as we should. This church began back in November 19th, 2006, and started with a handful of people and have grown to what it is today. Founders like our song leader, Dave, Dan, Gene, and others has helped this church grow over these years. God has richly blessed us with a very talented musician, Tom Wirtz, who handles all our music. We are so blessed to have him. Another important fact, Bruce and Betty are 24/7, not just Sundays. A call in the night, and they're there. Pastor Bruce recently gave a sermon on tithing. And I want to reiterate a couple things that he said. One is, no, it is true, we don't own a building, but we pay rent. That takes funds. It's important to note that this ministry we have goes on during the week. It doesn't stop on Sunday. Work is ongoing. The office has computers, printers, supplies needed. Sometimes the computers and printers need to be fixed or sometimes replaced. Benevolence, that's people in need, is helped right here in HEB. The board operates on a very frugal budget. And every year at year end, we review that budget. We scour it and try to figure out what we can do better. And without going into further detail, that's really the business side of the church. Bruce mentioned about our church ministries. And these are things that go on during the week, and I want to reiterate those right now. Our ministries include Ladies Bible Study, Co-Ed Bible Study, women's ministry, men's ministry, fellowship ministry, prayer pillow ministry, which has really taken off, care ministry, and we have four outside ministries that we do. Getting back in the saddle again and reviewing the financials, yeah, I wanted to find out where the church was monetarily. Here's the truth. The income is short $7,500 of where we need to be. To be direct, we need your help and hopefully get this fulfilled by year end. Therefore, I'm going to bring up the biblical principle of God's word regarding tithing, and that is giving 10% of your income back to God. Throughout the Bible, this is mentioned many, many times. And Bruce has further mentioned that the Bible speaks more of tithing than it do of salvation. Years ago, I heard a pastor speaking in a church sermon. He stated a question that really struck me. His question was, would you rob God? And that hit me hard because, ladies and gentlemen, at that moment, I figured out I was robbing God. And from then on, I have made it a pledge to God that I would pay 10% of my income. And you know what? He has blessed me richly, just as it says in the Bible. Recently, I had an email that was about a retired United States general that said, God rests on my right shoulder. And through all these years, I want to get this right, while I am sure I have disappointed him, he has never disappointed me. Well, God has blessed our church with you people. And our church will continue to grow. And as that grows, our financial needs grow also. And we need to recognize that. Ladies and gentlemen, as I said 2 years ago, we know that some people are on a very tight budget, and there are others that are not. And again, I want you to know and make it perfectly clear that those that are on a tight budget is just as important to this church as those who are not. Now, we don't talk much about finances during the year, all year. And so as I look at this, I'm looking for an answer. And I think the answer is that we should follow God's will in the Bible and further follow what God leads you to do. We are the church and we can make it happen. God bless you all as we go forward.
Thank you, Dennis. For those of you who don't know, he was our treasurer like a year ago, and then his term was up, so now he has just come back, and he's just reviewed those books, so that's sort of where some of this is coming from, okay? We're going to sing another hymn here of thanksgiving, and for all of the chorale and choir members who have ever sung the Ash Grove, you're going to recognize the tune even if you don't know these words, okay?
Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, you've blessed us as a church this year. Through good times and difficult times, we felt your hand of grace, forgiveness, and healing. Today, as a congregation, we want to publicly express our gratitude to you. We thank you for the leaders among us, for the many in our church who offer their time, energy, and abilities to lead us, both paid staff and volunteers. We thank you for many opportunities we have to serve you, to demonstrate our love for you to our neighbors, families, and friends. And we're doing it to those people right now who are decorating. We thank you for the many among us who make possible the ministries that sustain us. We also thank you for the many who reach out to others in informal ways every week. We thank you that even when sickness and accidents make our future uncertain, you are with us, strengthening, healing, and encouraging. We thank you that we can be part of the healing process as we help care for one another. Indeed, Lord, you've blessed us. We humbly receive the gifts you have given us, knowing that you are the giver of all good things. For these blessings, Lord, we give you thanks. Amen.
Continuing in the vein of our Thanksgiving service, Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Psalm 100.
At this time in our service, we sing the doxology, but we're going to do a little different one today. Do you think they can still stand and see the words all right?
Yeah, let's just explain. You'll get it later, but we're singing a song after the sermon that uses the same tune that we normally sing the doxology to. So we're going to sing a different tune this time. It's one that you know, All Creatures of Our God and King. Okay. So we're going to sing Praise God, From Whom All Blessings Flow, to that. We're going to insert the Alleluias where you normally put the Alleluias in the middle. So there'll be two times. Hopefully this won't be too confusing. I have faith that you guys will pick up on it. You guys are a smart crowd.
There will be a test afterward.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for our bounty, for the ability to give to you to support our church in its ministries and its outreach of love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Surprise you at the Lord.
This is Thanksgiving. But to this morning in our service, we changed it around. We did giving and now thanks. One of the most beautiful psalms in the Bible is Psalm 100 that Ron read. And I'm going to read it again just to emphasize it. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I believe that we are a nation that has been blessed by God. We were founded on Christian principles and need to continue to push back against those atheistic forces that try to scuttle our Christianity. Our country has always given thanks to him and praised his name. You know, let me read a part of some of the things that housewives are thankful for on Thanksgiving. We have all kinds of lists, don't we, for Christmas and for Thanksgiving.
Housewives,
yes. This is for housewives. We are thankful for husbands who try to do the little tasks and mess them up, and so the pros have to come in and do them right. For teenage grandchildren who teach us a new language, and great-grandchildren too. For smoke alarms, because they tell us when the turkey is done. Well, like you, I'm sure that we have lists of thanks. We thank for our spouses, our health, our ability to cope with our health problems, family, friends, and the nation we live in, despite all of its flaws. Betty and I are most thankful for our salvation. Regardless of whatever happens, we know that our salvation is waiting for us. We have much to thank and celebrate on Thanksgiving. The church family, the mercy that God showers upon us every day. And with Jesus, we have much to celebrate on Thanksgiving. That is the number one. You know, when the Americans came over on the Mayflower, they didn't have much at all, did they? They didn't have much to share for in Thanksgiving. Bring it down a little bit, thank you. They had no income, they had no housing, they had no special mortgages, no reverse mortgages, no HELOCs. And they had to fend for themselves. They had no food stamps, they had to go out into the fields and streams and lakes and rivers and oceans to get their food. Even if they had money, they had no place to spend it, and most of the economy was based upon the barter system. They had no Social Security or Medicare or what is that other thing called, the other care? But they did have their four greatest human assets: initiative, courage, and the willing to work, and the boundless faith in God. Our forefathers had a boundless faith in God. Sounds strange today that our nation was built upon the conviction that we are one nation under God. The Declaration of Independence proclaims, "We hold these truths self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator, not by the government, but by God, with certain inalienable rights, God-given rights." And it ends with these words, "with a firm reliance upon the protection of the divine providence." Thanksgiving Day is a distinctive holiday. It's only celebrated in Canada, United States, and the Philippines, no place else in the world. It doesn't commemorate a battle or somebody's birthday or an anniversary. It's just a day to set aside to thank our nation's God. In 1789, George Washington made the first Thanksgiving proclamation. I did a search on Google this morning trying to find Obama's Thanksgiving proclamation for 2014. He hasn't done it yet. He will. But I wanted to do a comparison between what George Washington said. Actually, David Ramsey told me that George Washington's proclamation was written by Sam Adams. So he said, next time you have a Sam Adams beer, think about that. That's my word. That's his words, not mine. Well, he said, "by the President of the United States of America, a proclamation Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, and to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and favor. Whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, 1789, don't forget, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God. Therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted to the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. What a difference. Read President Obama's Thanksgiving proclamation and compare it to that when it comes out next week. The 100th Psalm was written by King David to remind us of our need to be thankful and to maintain an attitude of gratitude for all that we have, or especially our freedom. God said to the people of Israel, He said, when you come into the promised land and settle down in your warm homes, I'm paraphrasing, and have plenty to eat, don't forget me. I led you out of the wilderness, and I brought you to a land of flowing with milk and honey. Our land of flowing with milk and honey is the eternal kingdom of God, where we will be with Him someday. Do you know to whom the psalm is addressed, the 100th psalm? It's addressed to all the earth and all generations. That means you, too. Even though it was written thousands of years ago, it goes to all generations. That includes all of us. The message of thanksgiving in the 100th psalm is so wide and deep that it encompasses every stage of life. And so often we're so concerned, do we have enough turkey to stuff ourselves along with the stuffing? Is our money in the bank secure? What about the stock market? What's happening these days? Am I healthy? What's going on? The psalmist says that all of these things may change at any time, and they do change. Things change drastically. Look at the Pat Cox and her family. A couple of years ago, Carl had retired, and they built a home in Arizona to spend the winters, and then he got sick. We never know what's going to happen, do we? And it's very difficult. But we have our trust in the Lord that He will take care of us to the very end. And the very end for us never ends, does it? Well, there are five thanksgiving commands in this psalm. The first one is shout to the Lord, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Shout with the force of a trumpet blast. Don't be afraid. Maybe He solved your problem. Maybe He's given you the direction to go. Maybe He has provided a blessing. They come from God, you know. And maybe He's taken a loved one in His arms. God does take loved ones in His arms. I've often mentioned to people who are going through the last days of their life that very often death is a gift. And we have seen that many times. This is what the psalmist is saying. Suddenly you realize that God has been so good to you that you can't keep it inside anymore. And from the depth of your being, you shout to the Lord so that you are fulfilled with His joy. The second one is serve the Lord with gladness. We have so many people in our church that serve the Lord with gladness. Our volunteers are amazing. It says serve the Lord. It doesn't say serve the preacher or serve the leaders or serve the organization. It says serve the Lord, and that's what we do in our church. That's our main commitment. The Bible teaches us that if we witness on behalf of the Lord, if we feed the hungry, we clothe the poor, we do the work of the Lord, make it easier for people to live, we are serving the Lord. In Matthew 25:40, Jesus said, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of my brethren, you have done it to me. Now last week we had a service that was ended shortly. Tom isn't here today, but he's doing fine. Tom passed out. We had no idea what was going on. We didn't have no idea if he was in a life-ending situation or not. But he wasn't. But we ended the service because we were concentrated on serving him as one of our own. That's the most important thing. Third command is come before Him with joyful songs. Don't we do that? Psalm 98 says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. We can all make joyful noises, and we do it every Sunday morning. It doesn't mean that we have to be professional or operatic or be the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, although sometimes it sounds like that. It's amazing what a joyful noise a group of 70 or more seniors can do. People listen to our, I have a niece that listens to our services on the website, and she said, it's amazing. You folks are all seniors, aren't you? I said, yeah, the youngest one, I'm not going to say what the youngest one is, a great-grandchild here, she's the youngest one here today. But the average age is about that age. The psalmist says, I want you to be happy, shout with joy, serve with gladness, and come with joyful songs. Sing his praise with joy in your heart. And then the fourth command in this psalm is, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That is so important. We are his sheep. In some other places in the Bible, it says we are his slaves to do his will. We do that. We are his sheep because we don't know where to go for the still waters and the green grass. God took every bone, every joint. He welded them together with sinews and muscles and covered them with skin. And that's who we are. We are made in the image of God. That is our image. He made you and he made me. And he's still making us. And we are a work in progress, no matter how old you are. We have folks here sitting in the front who have been married 70, how many years? 72 years. Wow, that is amazing. And they are just great, great Christian couple who have been together for 72 years. How'd you stand it, Ruth? Even though the Kansas City Chiefs lost to the Oakland Raiders, they're Kansas City Chiefs fans because they're from Kansas City. So, but they are a testament to what you can do and who you are. He made you, and he's not satisfied with the weak areas of life because it's a continuing process. He's working in our lives. He gives give thanks for who you are to God. Then he says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You know, the sheep in the early days of Israel very often would get spooked, and they were so ignorant and so dumb they would run off a cliff following the leader of the sheep herd. So the shepherd had to make sure that they were taken care of. It's not fun being sheep, we say. The problem is that we should follow God, and we will be directed to the still waters and the green grass and the food to take care of us. Jesus is saying, you be the sheep, let me be the shepherd, and I will lead you beside the still waters. Just let me lead, and that's what we should do, is give our souls up to God and let him lead us. In the Old Testament, the temple epitomized the place where God was present. Once a year in the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and consecrate and give the people's sins to the Lord. But that temple no longer exists. But God is with us everywhere, every day. We don't have to go into a special place. We don't have to go into the Antero room or the Humboldt room or whatever room. We are with God every day, and that is our sanctuary. That is our place where God is. He is with you when you drive on the highway. He's with you when you go shopping, hopefully. He is with you as you care for your grandchildren. He's with you with every moment of your life. But are we with him? That's important. Are we with God when he is with us? What if God stopped loving and caring for us because he failed to love and he forgot about us or didn't take the time? Well, that's not going to happen, is it? What if he wouldn't bless us today because we didn't thank him yesterday? You know, saying, okay, if you didn't bless me yesterday, I'm not going to bless you today. Well, God doesn't do that. God blesses us all the time. God loves to hear you talk to him, and he loves to hear you listen to him. That's so important. Oh, Lord, help us to be thankful in what you do, as it says in Psalm 103. Do not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Don't do that, Lord, because we can never live up to what you want. I pray that this will be a meaningful Thanksgiving season for you all and all of your family. Take time to read the 100th Psalm, around the table at Thanksgiving. Read Psalm 100 to the group. And if we heed these commands, our hearts will overflow with thanksgiving to the Lord. And Betty and I wish happy Thanksgiving to all. Amen. Let us pray. Let us say together the Apostles' Creed.
As we prepare our hearts for communion, we are going to sing All People That on Earth Do Dwell,
which is based on Psalm 100.
He did it again. Great hymn to go along with the service, the theme of the service. In the night in which the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he met with his disciples and he took the bread and he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you." In the same manner also he took the cup after they had finished eating and he said, "I bless this cup. This is my blood which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Drink all of it in remembrance of me." And let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, thank you.
Our final hymn today, as we prepare to go out and get ready for Thanksgiving, is Rejoice Ye Pure in Heart.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.